Good to see all of you this morning, and I appreciated that little tiny bit of liquid sunshine that we got. We need a whole lot more, so be sure to be continuing in your prayers for that. We, in our series on experiencing Easter's emotions, we have been talking about all of the various emotional aspects that must have gone through the minds of people at Easter time. We talked about grief at the grave. We talked about the devastation of death. This morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of drowning in desperation and depression. And I want you to think about what it must have been like for the apostles, the mother of our Lord, Mary, and his friends, his followers, as Easter rolled around. And they experienced before that, though, the cross and the grave. So if you turn in your Bible this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, today is Palm Sunday, and this is the day that we commemorate our Lord's riding into Jerusalem on the back of the young foal of a donkey that had never been ridden. And as we said, he was fulfilling prophecy, and he was filling the people with hope that their Messiah had finally come. I mean, expectations were running high. But as we've seen in our previous messages, the hopes were soon dashed and they turned into ashes. Jesus would be betrayed by one of his own for a paltry 30 pieces of silver. The remaining disciples would run out into the darkness of the night, forsaking the master, hiding for fear of what would happen to them. Peter would be found warming himself at the fire with the enemies of our Lord before swearing and denying he even knew the Lord right before the rooster crowed. The one in whom and for whom they had forsaken their respective occupations to study with, in the meantime, was being so badly beaten, brutalized. He was barely recognized as a human being before being hung on a cross to die. This is not what any of them expected. This is not what any of them anticipated or looked for. The body of our Lord would be begged for and given a hasty burial. And the disciples would scurry off, hide in an upper room behind locked doors, for fear of the Jews. All of their hopes, all of their dreams, their aspirations, their joy, their peace had just been sucked right out of them. And now they stand behind locked doors, fearful and trembling in soul and in spirit. The reality of a totally unexpected reversal in life raised a lot of troubling questions and doubts in their minds. What would they do now? Where would they go to find safety? Why did they follow this stranger from Galilee to begin with if it was going to end up like this? Life seems so discouraging, so disappointing. Maybe we should just pause for a moment and ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever made decisions that you regretted making? Have you ever been overcome with fear? Paralysis set in, you didn't know what to do, where to go? Has life ever seemed a total waste of time, discouraging and disappointing? Have there been times when you wondered, where is God in all of this? I thought he loved me. Well, if you've read the end of the book being the Bible, you know what the answer is. In the end, all of those who put their faith and their trust in God will win. Even the disciples of our Lord would soon, right after this event, have their joy returned to them. Their hopes, their dreams, their aspirations would all be restored. They would once again laugh and live and enjoy life with all of their hearts. They were fully assured that we do have a future that's going to be bliss. And it was all because a resurrection took place. So take heart this morning. Life is always the darkest before the dawn. You will have those midnight hours in your life. You will have the valleys. But folks, there's also going to be the mountain peaks. There's going to be the times of ecstasy. But let's just re-engineer this whole story, just for argument's sake. You say you're just going to make something up. Nope, it's in the Bible. And I want you to follow along with me in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's deconstruct the resurrection story and ask ourselves some very, very serious what-if questions about life. What if Jesus had never been born? What if Jesus had never died? What if Jesus had never been buried? What if Jesus had never been resurrected? In other words, what if we had never been given the gospel? The good news, the euangelos is the Greek word. Then what? What if we never heard about the death, burial, resurrection, ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Those are some pretty heavy and dark questions to wrestle with. And the Apostle Paul addresses them in our text for this morning. What difference would it make in your life if Jesus had never risen from the grave? Have you ever pondered it? Have you ever just sat back and meditated upon that what if? Folks, we do not mourn a corpse today. We celebrate a conqueror. We don't worship a limp, lifeless man on a cross. We worship a living Lord who's seated in the heavenlies on the right hand of the Father today. And if you believe in your heart that Jesus is alive in heaven and you've asked for forgiveness of your sins, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ's work on the cross of Calvary alone to get you into heaven, God has done a work, a miraculous work in your life. He has regenerated you. You have been, what Jesus, one of his favorite terms, born again. You've been made alive. You've been quickened spiritually. And the Holy Spirit of God has come into your heart and your life to live and given you joy and peace and happiness and contentment. And you long and you look forward to a day in which you are going to spend eternity with him and all who have put their faith and trust in him upon a brand new heaven and a brand new earth. But if you've never given much thought to what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you, if you've never called upon his name asking for forgiveness of sin, I pray that you will listen very closely to the remainder of this message this morning. And my prayer is that by the time we finish this message, you will believe that Jesus Christ is alive. And you will believe and trust in him with tears in your eyes. You will be brokenhearted. And you will say, I want to give my life to him as he gives me the gift of eternal life. Jesus is alive, seated in the heavenlies. But the question raised in our text this morning is this: what if he were not alive? And there's a lot of people out there in the world who adhere to this belief. They don't believe he even existed. Many of them are atheists. Many of them believe he was a fraud. Many believe he was nothing more than a good teacher. What if there were no Easter that we're going to celebrate next week? Paul gives us something to think about. He begins by saying that if Jesus is not alive today, then our preaching, it's profitless. Look at verses 12 through 14, first part of verse 14 of 1 Corinthians 15, where God's preacher says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. In other words, if Jesus Christ never came out of that tomb alive, we should dismiss this service right now, turn off the lights, lock the doors on our way out, and never darken the church door again, because we have nothing to live for. And we're just wasting our time gathering here today if that's the case. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, every sermon you have ever heard preached, it was a waste of your time listening to it, and it was a waste of the time of the person who preached it. If Jesus never came out of that tomb, then Martin Luther, Charles Wesley, Mordecai Ham, C.H. Spurgeon, Billy Graham, and every other well-known preacher you have ever heard of in the entire world who preached in days gone by, they have wasted their time, and they've wasted the countless of millions of hours of millions of people who sat and listened to them. It was all in vain if Jesus is not alive. But if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, the gospel of Christ is the most important message anyone will ever hear in their life. Secondly, if Jesus is not alive today, our faith is foolish. The Apostle Paul goes on to say in verse 14, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Have you ever believed a lie? Have you ever told yourself a lie and believed in that lie? In other words, if Jesus is still dead, hey folks, the world's right. You're a fool if you believe anything that the Bible or some foolish man who stands up and proclaims that he's been called by God to preach the word of God, if you believe that stuff, you're delusional if Jesus is not alive. But Paul isn't finished yet. He goes on in verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ." What's Paul saying? He's saying, if Jesus was not resurrected from the grave, then all of the apostles, all of them, are liars. That's pretty strong language. Why are they liars? Because all of the apostles testified that they had seen the resurrected, glorified Christ. They were witnesses to the nail prints in his hands and in his feet. They said, "We have seen his spear-riven side." So if Jesus had not been raised from the dead, the Apostle John's a liar. Paul was a liar. Peter was a liar. All of the apostles were liars if Jesus did not rise from the grave. Because they said, "We saw him. We talked with him." And if all the apostles were liars, then the word of God's a lie, because the word of God says that he was resurrected from the grave. And you and I are foolish and deluded if we believe that Jesus rose from the grave when he really didn't. But thank God Jesus did rise from the grave. And because of that, our faith is not foolish. And never be ashamed to take a bold stand and witness for Jesus Christ. Lament, pray for people who have not grasped that, who do not believe that, because their eternity future is at stake. Our faith is a fruitful faith because he came forth out of that grave. And you can believe everything that the Bible and the apostles said about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because the resurrection is one of the most accurately authenticated, documented facts of all of history. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the only begotten Son of God who died upon Calvary's cross, lives, and he rose from that grave. So believing and trusting in the good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection is one of the most life-transforming decisions you'll ever make. It'll change your life in time. It will radically alter your family. It will help you in your relationships with other people. It will make you a better employer, a better employee, whatever your vocation is, a better parent. It will change you for time and for all of eternity future. That is why the apostles were, to a man, every last one of them, willing to give their lives for the faith. They were willing to die themselves preaching the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And folks, let me tell you something. A man would be a fool to risk being fed to lions for preaching something that was not true. That is just totally idiotic. The only reason the apostles and martyrs through the centuries were willing to lay down their lives for Jesus Christ was because they were absolutely, positively sure that Jesus was alive. He stayed on this earth for 40 days after that resurrection, giving many infallible proofs that it was He, the Son of God, that had ministered to them for 3.5 years. They had seen Him. They had heard Him speak. They had watched Him eat. They had touched His resurrected body. They had witnessed Him going up into heaven and disappearing from their sight. That's why they were willing to be arrested and tortured and martyred, because they knew He is alive forevermore. That's why Bill Horton has been on the mission field down in Brazil for over 40 years. Preaching the gospel to people that have never heard. Thirdly, if Jesus is not alive today, this is a frightening one. Our sin is sovereign. Folks, sin is a hard taskmaster. It will make your life miserable. And to be a sovereign means that it reigns over you. Consider carefully what he says in verse 17. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. The Word of God very plainly teaches that sin is what separates us from God. God is a holy, righteous, just God. That means that if we die in our sins, we will forever be separated from God and all that's good throughout all of eternity, and we will suffer the torments for our sins in a lake of fire into which hell has been cast for all of eternity future. Please, please, please understand, God is a holy, righteous, perfect God. And every single man, woman, boy, and girl will be punished for their sin if they refuse to accept what Jesus Christ suffered for them, and as far as their punishment, on Calvary's tree. For me, I believe one of the most comforting passages of Scripture you will find anywhere in the entire Bible is Romans chapter 4, where we read concerning Abraham, who we know as the father of faith. And he starts off referring to him, Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, that is what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him, unto Abraham, for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and he was raised again for our justification. Now, did you get the gist of what the Bible is saying there? It is saying that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, God the Father said, I accept the blood of Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, for the payment of the sins of any man, woman, boy, and girl who will believe. Christ was raised from the dead for our justification, to make it possible that your sin and my sin and anyone else's sin who puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will be totally forgiven. Our sins will be, baptistic terms, put under the blood. That means that you can be forgiven and pardoned of every sin you have ever committed today if you're willing to turn from every sin and turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And may I hasten to add, no one who has not given their life to Jesus Christ has anything to celebrate at Easter. Easter means nothing because you don't believe in him. All that Easter will mean for the person who rejects Jesus Christ as their Savior is they are headed for a lake of fire forever. It's without reprieve. It's forever. It's relentless. You don't get 1 second to pause and breathe. Jesus Christ paid the price for man's sin. And if you have not accepted his work on Calvary's cross for your sin, you can be saved this morning if you're willing to come to him and turn your life over to him. Fourthly, this morning, if Jesus is not alive today, then death will have dominion over you. Notice what Paul says in verse 18. If Christ is not raised. If Christ is not raised, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Now remember a while ago we said that it's possible to believe a lie? Well, if Christ is not raised, then these people believed in a lie. And when they died, even though they, quote, believed in Christ, if Christ never lived, if Christ never died, if Christ was never erected, those people are perished. In other words, even if you believed in Christ, if Jesus Christ was not raised from the dead, then your sin will still send you to hell because it's unforgiven sin, and God is holy, righteous, and just, and he cannot commune in fellowship with sinful people. Death has dominion over the entire human race if Jesus Christ has never been raised from the dead. The Bible says that those who died are perished. They're gone. You'll never, ever see them again if Jesus was not resurrected from the grave. They will suffer in the darkness of eternal lake of fire forever, never to be looked upon, gnawing on their teeth, gnashing, screaming, yelling, in pain, burning, but never consumed. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, then this present life, folks, it really has no meaning. It has no purpose. It has no hope because there is no resurrection. So let me ask you a personal question. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, I'm telling you this morning, based upon what the Word of God has to say, death has dominion over you. You say, what's that mean? Death reigns over you. What's that mean? Death will overcome you someday. You are powerless to prevent death from taking your life. The person to your left, the person to your right, the person in front of you, and the person sitting in your seat. If Jesus Christ tarries, we are all going to die. We talked about that last week. The word death means separation. You will be separated from your physical body. You don't cease to exist. You just change places of existence. We take your body, we put it in the ground, it decays. But your soul and your spirit either immediately wakes up in the presence of God or it wakes up in the presence of hell where you're in pain and anguish. You are eventually going to die. And the Bible teaches when you die, you will perish forever in hell if Jesus Christ has not risen from the dead. If you die without Christ, death has dominion over you and you will perish in fear and darkness and dread and in pain. But if you die in the Lord, if you confess your sinfulness, admit that you're incapable of doing anything to be able to earn your way into heaven, cast your feet at the foot of the cross and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I do believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I ask you, give me the gift of eternal life. I want to go to heaven. I do not want to go to hell. You can die in peace and with a full confidence and assurance that Jesus Christ is yours for eternity. Finally, this morning, if Jesus is not alive today, your future is certainly fearful. If Christ hasn't risen from the grave, you have every right to be filled with consternation and dread. Look at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. If this is all there is, I don't know about you, but sometimes it just stinks. This life is rotten. The future is fearful without Jesus. If Jesus isn't alive, if he isn't seated in the heavens today, really, we don't have anything to look forward to. Turn out the lights. You're dead. It's over, except you're still going to spend eternity in hell. Jesus came forth victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, your future does not have to be a fearful future. If you will believe and put your trust in Jesus, you have nothing to fear because you certainly will be saved from the wrath of God, which is yet to come upon all believing souls. Many of you know the name Napoleon Bonaparte. French statesman, military leader, well on his way to be conquering the world before he met his Waterloo. And if you don't know the story about the time when British Duke of Wellington met Napoleon at Waterloo, it's well worth knowing a portion of that story. The people of England were anxiously awaiting to hear the news of the battle, wondering if Wellington had won or lost at the Battle of Waterloo. They peered out into the harbor at a ship that was pulling into the harbor, and they were holding their breath, wondering if the Duke had won or lost the battle. Their hearts leaped within them as the signalman on the ship picked up his flag and he began spelling out the message with the flags. There was a holy hush, a dead quiet that fell over the breathless crowd as they began to read each letter that was spelled out with the flags. The first word began with the letter W until it finally spelled out the word Wellington. The silence was deafening as the second word started with a D and it spelled out the word defeated. And then their hearts sank. A heavy fog rolled into the harbor and it totally blanketed out the ship and the signalmen. They could no longer see the signals. Could it be that Wellington had been defeated by Napoleon and he was going to conquer Britain as well as Europe? Everyone's nerves were on edge. Despondency began to set in, thinking about the possibility of what the future would be. Fears began to mount. But then there was a momentary break in the fog, and the signalman continued to spell out the word Napoleon. The complete message was, Wellington defeated Napoleon. And folks, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the message was pretty grim. It looked like we had been defeated. It looked like our fate had been sealed, that we were doomed. The scoffers, the naysayers gathered round the foot of the cross. They laughed when our Lord said, "It is finished." And the Bible says he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. And all of those mockers and the people jeering looked up in derision and they replied, "You certainly are finished." Mary and John stood at the foot of the cross, weeping, looking up at that limp, lifeless body. Peter and the other apostles watching from afar, trembling, anguish. Looking upon that limp frame hanging suspended in shame between heaven and earth. He was gone, along with all of their hopes, all of their dreams, all of their aspirations. But friends, foes, and friends alike, they only got the first half of the message that day. There was more to come. 3 days later, the fog of despair and depression would lift in their lives, and they would see the rest of the message come through loud and clear. The complete message was this: it is finished. Sin's debt has been paid. The Father has accepted the payment. Death, hell, and the grave have been defeated, and I am alive forevermore. Man, what good news. Praise the Lord. You know what that means this morning? Our preaching is not in vain. Our preaching is not, it's profitable. Death has been defeated. The future is hopeful and assured for the person who is willing to come to Jesus Christ and make him Lord of their life. And we should keep the lights on, the doors unlocked, and we should be brightly carrying the message throughout the world for all to see, for all to hear. As we close this morning, I ask one more time, do you believe that Jesus of Nazareth, born of the Virgin Mary, the only begotten Son of God, was sent into this world to die personally for your sin? Do you believe they took him? They hung him on the cross. He died. They gave him a hasty burial. And 3 days later, he came out of that grave victorious over death, hell, and the grave, offering to every unbeliever the free gift of eternal life. How foolish to turn down the gift that God offers. Have you accepted it? The Bible says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we invite you to do that even as we sing a hymn of invitation this morning. And as we said, every service of this series, if you need help in praying that kind of a prayer, I promise you, I'll stay as long as you need help in getting through this and praying a prayer of repentance and accepting the gift of eternal life. We've got many good men and women who will do the same. Would you stand with me and join me in prayer? Father, thank you so much that Jesus is alive. And how we exult and rejoice in what you have done for us. We cannot comprehend that. We cannot wrap our minds around how you could love us so much as sinners. But it's very clear in Scripture that before the worlds were ever framed, in your mind, the job was completed. Jesus Christ died before the foundation of the world and your thoughts and in your plans. Father, it's our duty and our responsibility to be able to tell others about Jesus. Help us, Father, to be faithful. If we had the cure for cancer and we selfishly held that cure and just let people all around us die miserable deaths, that would be a travesty. We've got something more valuable and more precious than any cancer cure. That cancer of sin, Father, is going to gnaw away and debilitate and destroy people's lives and send them to hell for an eternity. And we've got the solution. We have the answer. Help us, Father, to know how to broach people, to be able to open conversations of a spiritual nature, and share with them the gospel truth. And if there's someone here this morning who knows not Christ is their Lord and their Savior, we pray that this will be the day as they in their hearts ask for forgiveness of their sins and put their faith and trust in him to be able to get them to heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to the Worship Hour on KSGL, sponsored by Crossroads Baptist Church, 11,441 East Central in Wichita. For more information about Crossroads, you can reach them at 204-3024 or online at cbcks.church. That's cbcks.church. Tune in next week at 9 a.m. for The Worship Hour.